And so hopefully anybody listening out there understands, you really got to be careful when somebody's trying to sell you something, especially things that pay big commissions, with very limited amounts of data, right? And it doesn't really apply to how your whole life might play out. It's just a snapshot in time.
Welcome to the Retirement Cafe with certified financial planners Dan Reese and Brent Oliver. At our cafe, we believe your retirement plan should be life-giving and custom-made, just like a hot cup of coffee. Here in mid-Michigan, with an office in Jackson, the Retirement Cafe is open for business.
Well, glad to have you on the Retirement Cafe. I'm Ben George, alongside Dan Reese and Brent Oliver over at Avery Wealth. They're both certified financial planners. You can find them online at averywealth.com. Guys, how are you?
Good, good. Looking forward to the holidays.
Yeah, I know. You guys, hard to believe we're already here, but are you guys able to get some time off away from work, or is it get busy with just trying to finish things up before the new year?
Don't tell anybody, but Brent and I are going to sneak away for a couple of days of Florida golf.
Yes.
Oh, beautiful.
It's a work meeting.
That's right. That's right.
Where are you going exactly?
Down just south of kind of like Bonita Springs area, which is, Fort Myers Beach, south of there.
Okay.
North of Naples, that area.
Awesome. Where the weather's still warm, right?
Yeah, hopefully. Usually it's pretty good there this time of year, so it should be fun.
We should be on the plus side of 70. That's all that really matters.
That's right. That's right.
Yes, I'm sure 70 when you're in the middle or the beginning of a Michigan winter kind of feels like, 85 or 90, huh?
Yeah, for sure. We'll be complaining maybe. No, I don't believe. No, that will not happen.
But. I love it. Well, enjoy the trip. That'll be a lot of fun. And everyone listening, we appreciate you. We want to say thanks to you for being a listener of the Retirement Cafe and want to give our thanks. And we're grateful for everyone that's tuned in and supported the show throughout the year. So it's worth noting that before we get started on today's show today.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, today we are going to talk about a topic that I think is important for a lot of people. I know that the number one fear for retirement is, hey, I don't want to run out of money. And then when you kind of dive into, hey, what could cause that? A lot of times, people worry about it being a market crash. The money you have tied up in the market, they lose a lot of value, like we saw at the beginning of 2020 with the pandemic affecting accounts for a short amount of time. It can really make you worry about, what's to come. Will it ruin my retirement? Will I have to go back to work? So I think it's going to be a great topic to get into today. And I'm assuming this is something that you probably talk to your clients about quite a bit. Is this something they're worried about often?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's probably deep down the number one worry, right?
Yeah, when somebody comes in to retire, I mean, the biggest thing is, do I have enough money? Mm-hmm. Is this going to work long term? They want to make sure that their plan is sustainable. And it's difficult, right? Mm-hmm. Because anytime that you're going through a transition in life, those things are difficult,
right?
And this is a major transition, and there's a lot of things that you should be concerned about. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean you have to be worried about it, hopefully, but you should have those concerns. When you're going from, hey, I've been a good saver my whole life, and I've been building this, and now I have to flip the switch mm-hmm. and start using that, that's a difficult transition to make.
Yeah, and I think like the political world we live in today has caused a lot of people to worry, like, hey, are the actions of Trump or Biden or whoever going to ruin my retirement?
Yeah.
Are they going to do all these crazy things? And that's a whole different topic, the impact the president has on markets, which, here's a spoiler alert, not much.
Yeah.
but it's always talked about because the news cycle, everything is, they're trying to get eyeballs on the TV, so they fill it with scare tactic.
Right.
And emails flood clients, boxes. And it's really difficult nowadays to focus on long-term structured investing.
Right. And then there are a lot of negative stories out there mm-hmm. from people who maybe didn't have a proper plan. Like looking back to 2008, the financial crisis and what happened there. And people did have really bad things that occurred because they weren't set up properly to
right.
begin with.
Right.
And then they're telling their friend, well, my so-and-so lost everything,
yep.
in this. And so it's like, okay, well, yeah, certainly those things can happen. But if you're structured and disciplined, hopefully you avoid some of those common mistakes.
Yep. That's our goal. This talk today is to just get into that a little bit.
Yep.
Yeah, so we'll do that over the course of today's show. But let's begin on some of the reasons why you can have these poor investment results. What are people doing? What are some of the main causes for this?
Yeah, I think when we dig into this, the first thing I want to start with is just lack of understanding of markets. Like one of the challenges we have in America, we have lots of money, but we don't get much financial education. So understanding truly how markets work and in long term how it affects portfolios and withdrawals and all that other stuff, it's a challenge. And when you don't understand something very well, it's a lot easier to get greedy or fearful, right?
Yeah, for sure. And I think also just not having a plan of what you want to achieve can really create a lot of problems, right? And just randomly picking investments without a strategy behind it or what you're trying to achieve and having those line up with the things that are most important to you can really, really create problems.
Yeah, I mean, a big thing too is risk. You know, it's funny how, like, when you talk to people about managing risk, oftentimes I think the most common way that people take that is, oh, you mean when to get in the market and when to get out.
Yeah.
That's how you manage risk, right? When you see it's going to be bad, get my money out.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I wish it was that easy.
Help me avoid the pain.
Yeah, exactly. Right? But, you know, that really isn't what risk is, right? Risk is how much up and down your portfolio is going to have when you stay invested for your lifetime.
Right.
That's what you need to understand.
Yep. And we talk about that in three different ways of measuring risk, right? We want to talk about your ability, so how long of a time period to have to invest, your willingness, you know, how much can your stomach handle, and then your need, right? Like, do I need to take this level of risk to achieve the things that I want to achieve?
Yeah.
And you need to understand all of those.
You do, because the big thing is one of the reasons people fail is oftentimes they don't understand up front where they should be and then what to expect when they're at that level of risk moving forward.
Right. And so if you don't know what could happen, right, what's the possibility, right? You could abandon a plan that is going to work, but you gave up on it because something that was really, I don't know if it's expected, but is in the normal range of returns is occurring, and you're not comfortable with that.
Yep. And it all comes down to is, like, really the focus when you're investing the right way and you're doing the good financial planning, you should be focused on your goals and where you're at towards those goals.
Right.
Not market volatility. Market volatility exists today. It'll exist tomorrow and will always exist, right?
Yeah.
Till the end of time. That's not something you or I or anyone else can control. But what happens is, because that ends up being the focus for a lot of people, they end up pulling levers.
Right.
Like with their choices. When we say pulling levers, we mean market timing, selling stuff, getting in, getting out based on what they see in the news. Sometimes it's about greed. You know, like, oh, Rivian's a new, Brent and I laugh about this because it gets to be the same story over and over. Hey, should I buy this Rivian, this new IPO? And I think it came out, I was telling Brent, it came out around 70 or something. Yep. Originally, they thought they were going to put it out like in the 50s, comes out in the 70s, gets all the way up to 100, basically $180, 179. And I looked recently, it was back down to 115, you know, but that's not an investment for a retiree.
Right.
But yet, the greed can get you sucked in, and that can be one of those bad decisions with your investments that cause you to fail in retirement. Like, really, when it comes down to it, and we're going to get into things you can be doing, but, you know, your investments in retirement should be pretty vanilla, to be honest, right? Shouldn't be a lot of exciting stuff. So,
yeah, you shouldn't need to hit that home run to be successful. So let's talk about some of the ways that you can position yourself in a better way so that you're not worrying about these things or not making any of these mistakes. Let's begin with families. What can they do to put themselves in a good position for success?
Yeah, I think the very first thing, one of the great things about the world we live in today is all of the information we have, like all the research that's been done, all the data we have. It's really kind of table stakes nowadays to build a really sound portfolio, right?
Yeah. We call that an evidence-based, you know, structured portfolio. So, I mean, they're out there. Like, you can do that. And that's what Dan's talking about is it may not be fancy or exciting, but if it helps you achieve the things you want to achieve, it seems like a pretty good way to go.
Yeah, like really when you use evidence-based portfolios, the thing that we like and the reason we recommend people go that route, it's kind of like if you use those and you stay disciplined and stick with them, you're going to get a good result. You don't know how good. Nobody knows how good ahead of time. But you know you're not going to like lose all your money.
Right.
And that's the thing we're trying to avoid is these crazy decisions that people make that put them in a terrible long-term position. So that's...
Yeah, I mean, I think, and that's where it starts. It's like, yeah, in order for all this other stuff to work, we have to get the investment piece right. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the foundation that the rest of this, and then, you have to have a plan. You know, what is it you're trying to achieve with those investments, right? You have your investments right. We want to make sure that they're going to help you achieve the things that are most important to you.
Yeah, because the one thing you can't do is you can't wing it. Like, financial planning is difficult because there's assumptions, right? But one of the things that we always start with, once you get an investment plan in place, is really drawing out a cash flow, like, statement for the next 15, 20 years. You know, what are your expenses look like when they grow, and, you know, like with inflation every year? What do you set aside for vacations? All that stuff. And then when you overlay your portfolio that you've decided on top of that, how does it perform with those withdrawal requirements, right? But if you don't do that, yeah, it's pretty tough.
Yeah, and that's what we were talking about earlier, and why this has to be, you know, the things have to work together.
Yep, yep. One of the things that Brent and I talk about too when it comes to these investment choices is that I think it's really important, and we do this with every client when we're kind of teaching them about investing, is we look at a historical analysis on a portfolio. And of course, we're dealing mainly with retirees, so this is important, where they're taking money out, not necessarily adding money. But how does that perform over 40 years, right? What would have happened if you were taking out money each year? You know, 4% withdrawal or whatever that might be. Did it work okay? Did you run out of money, right?
Yeah, because it's alarming, actually, how different portfolios can look. If you just look at, okay, I invested X amount of money and left it there for 20 years. How did that, what does that look like?
Mm-hmm, yep.
And then when you flip the switch and now what does that same portfolio look like, but I'm taking money out? And you can compare two different portfolios side by side, and they can look very similar in the first example where you're just looking at how much the money grows, but they look totally different and when you start taking money out.
Yeah, absolutely. And the other thing that Brent and I always point out is that if you had, like, let's take a period of time from 1971 till 2020 or 2021 year to date. What was the worst single year ever for that portfolio, right? What was the worst 5 years? So let's get back to what we were talking about. If you did what you were supposed to do, you stayed invested, didn't market time, didn't do anything crazy, what was the worst scenario that happened over 5 years? What was the best, right?
Right.
Same thing with 10 years, right? So, like, the reason that's important is it starts to help you understand as an investor what might happen the next 5 years.
And that gets to that willingness that we talked about, like, how much can you stomach? Because if we're looking at a portfolio, and just make a random number here, let's say that we've seen that it's gone down 25%.
Right.
And if you say, all right, and if you had $1 million, that's $250,000 right, that it went down, right? Can you stomach that? Mm-hmm. And if the answer is, well, I'm not sure, like, that's the wrong portfolio.
Right, right, right.
We want to, and that's what getting to that is, and understanding it ahead of time before it happens so that you can use some logic, because we know when things go down, it's harder to have that logic.
Right, yeah, right? You become emotional.
Yeah.
And the other thing is if it goes down 25%, which is within the normal, ranges for that portfolio, did it affect your plan?
Right.
So what
are
if
you still able to be successful?
Right? Yeah, did your plan still work fine? Because here's the reality. We're going to have down markets. We've been really fortunate recently outside of that, the blip with the beginning of 2020 when COVID hit. But after it went down, we've had a really good market.
But even at that time, we had a lot of conversations with people that said, all right, look, we know that this is going to happen from time to time. Let's look and see how this has impacted your ability to be successful,
mm-hmm,
right? And it's very comforting for a client to know, hey, I know I don't like how this feels, but really I'm still okay.
Yeah,
right.
Yep, and that's that plan's still working fine, and that's what really matters. And so those are some of the things really to be put in a good position for success, Ben. Structure, a portfolio you understand, so when crazy things happen, you look at it and go, yep. Doesn't make you feel better.
Right. But it gives you the ability to stick with it.
Right, right.
Well, that's good stuff and a lot to think about. And one of the things I really like that you guys do is always provide a lot of data and a lot of numbers to kind of back up, you know, what you're talking about. So I'm curious what the history shows us when somebody follows these guidelines. What kind of things can they expect to achieve, maybe?
Yeah, this is really interesting, yeah. I find. There's an economist that did a study going back, what, Brent, all the way to
1926.
Which I think the reason that date, just from my own experience, is that's when you could get data on U.S. markets.
Yeah.
So that's, I think, why he picked those. But jump into that a little bit. It's really
so interesting. What we're going to do, we're just going to kind of set the stage here. So what we're going to use basically for this analysis that we're going to do is that there's 71 rolling 25-year periods from 1926 to 2020, right? And so we're gonna look at those at a high level.
Yeah, right? In 25 years, right? Because that's kind of a typical time for a retiree in retirement.
Right. Like that's when they're drawing down. Right. So they've saved. Now they're taking the money out.
Yep.
Right. And we're going to assume that they're starting with $1 million. And we're going to put just a basic portfolio here that has 40% in U.S. large, 20% in U.S. small company stocks, 30% in fixed income or bond positions, mm-hmm. and 10% in cash. And then we're going to put a fee on it, right? We're going to have a 1% fee, so 100 basis points.
Right, because investing isn't free, and most people need help with it. So we want to see what is the reality if you have a financial professional helping you, right? And I think what Brent just mentioned, it is diversified, but just so you know, based on evidence, this is pretty simple.
Right.
Now we know ways to even improve it further, which as you see the results, you'd be like, whoa, it could even be maybe a little better. Right.
I believe significantly better when you start looking at the level of diversification that you can achieve out beyond this.
Yeah, today compared to what you could then. But this is a really good example because it just shows even with simple diversification how much you can achieve.
So what we do then is we want to say, okay, let's say that we're going to withdraw 4% of the year-end balance from the previous year. So if you had $1 million, you're going to take $40,000
right?
out of it,
yep.
right?
Yeah.
And so what we want to do is then start to see like how this performs over all of the over those 71 different periods of time.
Yeah. So just to back up for a minute, if you talk to someone that was retiring, they're like, "Boy, if I could get my income every year and still have what I started with, kind of like taking the icing off the cake, if you will, man, that'd be awesome."
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yep. So the average of those 71 periods of time, if you took, you would have taken in the first 5 years, $242,000 out of it. Okay. But what's really amazing here, if you ask me, is, and you'd still have $1.275 million.
So on average,
$75,000. So on average, the average one of the 75 mm-hmm. or 71 different time periods, mm-hmm. you would have taken almost $250,000 out, and you'd have $250,000 close to than what you started.
So you're up 500 grand in essence.
Yes. Yep.
Which
That's
is
nice.
Incredible.
Yeah.
You know.
So here's the thing though, 14% of those times in a 5 year period of time, you actually would have had less money in 5 years than when you had started. So you can't, it doesn't mean that, hey, you do this and there's no speed bumps, right? Mm-hmm. There are speed bumps that happen. 14.1% of the time, you're going to have less, you could have less money. So the question is, what do you do then if that happens?
Yeah, you're like in the danger zone because that's when emotion kicks in. I'm failing. My plan's not working. I'm going to run out of money, like all this snowball effect.
So when we're having conversations with people, we want to have that ahead of time because 14.1% of the time this could happen.
Right.
And so we want to make sure that we're setting the stage for somebody to be successful. And what we find out here is that if you stay in that portfolio, right, and continue just doing your plan,
mm-hmm.
in all 71 cases, the ending balance was higher than the starting balance, regardless of what happened in that first 5 year period of time.
Huh. Yeah, that's the lesson right there.
That's
if you stay disciplined, you're going to win in essence. And I believe these numbers are based on, it was 60-40, right? 60% stock, 40% fixed income. So it gives you an idea, hey, I'm not taking a boatload of risk here. I'm kind of middle of the road.
Right.
Kind of I call it the Warren Buffett portfolio. Because Warren Buffett always says the average investor, that's a good place for them because it mitigates risk, but it also gets them a competitive return. And so it's interesting to hear that. So you really don't have to do anything crazy.
No. And what this should be telling everyone is that getting to that plan, like what's the mistake here is to abandon it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because even included in these numbers that we're talking about, those 2008 events were in this.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And so the worst happened, like in those cases, you retired your investments, the market tanked, mm-hmm. right? You're taking money out. Oh no, what do I do?
Yeah.
Stay structured and disciplined.
Yep. Yep.
Right.
No, that's awesome to see. I mean, that should give anybody out there some peace of mind that, hey, if I get a good portfolio and I maintain 4% or less withdrawals, I should be in good shape.
Yep.
And I really don't have to worry, because we're talking about, keep in mind, this is from 1926. Did anything bad happen between 1926 and 2020?
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
There's a few things that happen along the way.
Well, that's a good to point out, though, because that's the fear, right? That's what we're talking about here, is, you know, worst case scenario. If that happens in my retirement, am I going to be okay? And these are some things to be thinking about as to why, you know, stay in the course. But, you know, I'm curious, because you talked about that 60-40 mix. How much does risk factor into those long-term results when you're building that portfolio?
Yeah, we're going to get into that. One thing I want to mention, too, just to back up a little bit. So these numbers where you've got these times when markets go down, this is what sometimes, like, retirees get sold. So they get sold to make bad choices. A lot of times annuities that aren't a good fit for a client get sold to them with these snapshots in time that, hey, look what happened in 2008. If you retire and it's all gone, you're going to fail, right?
Right.
Because they don't look at the bigger picture. And so hopefully anybody listening out there understands, you really got to be careful when somebody's trying to sell you something, especially things that pay big commissions,
yeah.
you know, right. with very limited amounts of data, right? And
point.
It doesn't really apply to how your whole life might play out. It's just a snapshot in time. So,
good point.
But to the risk, go ahead, Brent. I think on the question about
how much does it affect. I mean, by reducing risk, so let's just take that same person, and let's just say that they went to a 40% stock in 60% bond portfolio or fixed income portfolio. So when we do that, right, we've reduced the amount of stock and added more bonds. We become more conservative. There's less risk in the portfolio. Mm-hmm. Over that same 95-year period of time, I think it's interesting, 17% of the time in that first 5 years, the portfolio is underwater. So you've reduced some risk, but there's more occurrences in those first 5 years where you have less money than you started with. And only 1.4% of the time did you end up with less money than you started with at the end of the 25 years. So it's still, I mean, it's a less risky way to do it. It still would be successful,
yeah.
right? Because people aren't running out of money, but they're not growing their money.
It's
right?
interesting, though, like, you took less risk, but you had a higher probability of being underwater after five
yes.
years. So did you really take less risk? There's different ways to look
yeah.
at risk.
Because the reality is, people are going to be looking at how much money is in their portfolio. And if 17% of the time there's less, they're going to feel like that's more risky.
Right.
And then when you start to add in more stocks, what we find is that it really comes down to, you're going to be successful. Like, what we found is that 0% of the time those plans failed over a 25-year period of time. And the downside, that first five-year period of time remained very similar.
Mm-hmm.
It was actually like right around that 15% number. So that was the same. The five-year, you had more money at the end of 25 years by adding more stock, if 80% mm-hmm. or 100% stock. But there's a lot more volatility there.
Yeah, which can cause some plans to fail in certain circumstances more
often. It could. And that's what I think is really, really critically important here, is that these are examples, and Dan and I look at these all day long. And there are times where the level of risk that you have moving it in one direction or the other really can impact a plan, depending on the order in which cash is used and how maybe you're using more cash early on in retirement and there are uneven cash flows throughout retirement. All kinds of different scenarios can play out where this wouldn't be the case, but we're trying to keep this simple. But there's your little disclaimer.
Yeah, there's your disclaimer.
Right?
Everybody's different.
Everybody's different.
Right.
And we need to make sure that your plan works for you, or for your investments work for your long-term plan.
Yep.
Well, based on kind of what you've talked about and what we know, are there any rules of thumb that we can put in place after seeing these results?
Well, what we think's funny are some of the rules of thumb that have existed for years that maybe people need to rethink. Brent and I always struggle with this because you hear people like a simple one we've heard a lot of times. Oh, you should have no more stock than 100 less your age. So if you were 70, you should have no more than 30% stock as an example, right? Well, I struggle with that. I think Brent struggles with that because that's a terrible way to approach planning.
Right. There's well, and we just went through that with dropping it to 40%, right? I mean, a lot of people that retire are in their 60s.
Yeah. You know, they'd have only 40, right. And yeah. So they'd actually be worse off many times.
Yeah.
And the other one, like, you don't have time to make losses back. Well, This kind of shows that's not true at all.
Right. Right. And in that, the 2008 example that we gave, like that's the same thing. Like, oh, if I retire at the beginning and at the beginning it drops significantly, mm-hmm. it's over for me. Well,
right.
No, we've illustrated that doesn't have to be the case.
Right. And I love this one because Brent says it all the time. Your investment plan doesn't end when you retire.
Right. Because how many people do you talk to that say that? Well, I've only got a few years left.
Yeah. You got 30 years left.
You know, like, yeah, your retirement plan is 30 years long and you have 5 years to work. That's 35 years. You have a long time to go.
Yeah.
The other one too, and we've used it as an example here, is the 4% rule. Like,
yeah,
just so you know, we don't, and again, it's based on, it's a general rule, but that doesn't mean that if you just take 4% out, you're safe. Right.
Right.
And so we want to make sure that we're clear on that.
Yeah, it's got to work. Cash flow's got to work with your portfolio you choose. All those parts need to go together.
That's right.
Yeah, the rules of thumb aren't necessarily going to fit everybody, but kind of good guide rails for some people to think about. Well, there's been a lot of good information here. I know that this is going to be something that people will be worried about, hey, if that next market crash happens, but some really good things in here to think about and to help you plan so that you don't have to have that worry all the time if the market does suddenly have a big drop. So let's kind of wrap things up by summarizing here what we've talked about and hit on some of these main points one more time.
Yeah, I think the big thing is that with all the talk around a bad market ruining your retirement, that's probably the least of your worries, right? If you do things right. That should not be what causes problems in retirement
right.
for you. So that's a big, big thing. Usually the challenges that people have in retirement are kind of a result of really not having a long-term plan, poor diversification, so they're just like really buying just like the S&P 500 or something along those lines, and really pulling levers due to fear and greed. Like they're making changes because what they see on the news, or they're thinking the market's going to go way down, or there's some hot stock. And that's a recipe for disaster. Keep it vanilla. Keep a good evidence-based portfolio. Don't get too cute and you'll be in a lot better shape. And really, just sticking to a plan. We have all kinds of data that just shows you the value of sticking to a plan. And if you do that, you're going to likely have a lot more success. And that doesn't mean it's easy, right?
Oh, it's definitely not easy. And I mean, but I think knowing ahead of time that some of these things are going to happen.
Yeah.
Right? It's not a question of whether or not the market's going to have some hiccups along the way, because it is going to.
Right. Right.
Right. And knowing that ahead of time.
For sure. And so like stick to the things you can control, like how much you're spending, debt you take on, like choices you make when it's an emotional time. Those are things you can control. And if you can, kind of a bonus one, find a reputable certified financial planner to work with. You know, Brent and I are both CFPs, and we feel like if you find a good certified financial planner, you're likely going to be in a better shape because they're going to be looking out for a lot of different issues that play into a successful retirement. So best advice.
Well, great stuff as always, guys. I do appreciate it. And I encourage anyone listening to check out averywealth.com. This podcast and every podcast are archived right there on the website. And there's some other great resources there, but that's the best way to get in touch with Dan and Brent. But if you want to call Avery Wealth, you can also do that at 517-783-1695. All right, guys. Well, have a good Thanksgiving. I look forward to talking to you on the other side. And hopefully, if you do get out and do some Black Friday shopping, you have a little success without having any empty shelves out there like we're hearing about.
Yeah, exactly.
Information is for illustrative purposes only and does not constitute investment, tax, or legal advice. Always consult with a qualified professional before taking any action. Avery Wealth, Inc. is a registered investment advisory firm.